Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We are just over 48 hours away from Packers-Eagles Wildcard weekend. Should be a epic matchup. We've got a lot to talk about. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Carmen Vitale. Really fun conversation with Carmen today. Make sure to stick around for that. Really quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Wyatt Patrick and Bruce Fredrickson. Appreciate you guys a ton. Thank you so much for signing up. Also wanted to mention that Edrian Cooper did win Defensive Rookie of the Month, which is an awesome honor for him. Certainly deserving. You know, he has been on an absolute tear since coming back from his injury. It's funny how this works sometimes. I do think sometimes when you get a moment to step back and just sort of analyze everything and have those times where you maybe don't get to play even when you want to, I feel like sometimes you can gain this level of clarity, and it's almost like a way of having things slow down, where like when you're in the moment and you're going week to week and everything's flowing so fast as a rookie, like everything can just be so fast, so quick, coming at you at a million miles per hour. And I think sometimes you clearly don't want an injury for a player, but that little absence for Edrian Cooper in midseason, it almost felt like Cooper could catch his breath a little bit and sort of integrate himself into this team. And like I said, just kind of have things slow down for him. And since he's come back, not to say that there haven't been mistakes, there very much have been. Matt reiterated that in his press conference when he was asked about it on Thursday. There's definitely mistakes that are still being made by Edrian Cooper, but at the same time, the playmaking ability, like the dude's a star. He's just a star. He can do things that other linebackers can't, and it is seemingly slowing down for him at a level that it was not prior to that injury. So again, I'm not happy that he got hurt. I wish he could have just played through that entire time, but I do think in a weird roundabout way, it almost served as a positive for him and just kind of allowing him to get his feet underneath him. And now he's really been tearing it up and playing at a high level. So super well-deserved for Edrian Cooper as Defensive Rookie of the Month. Also wanted to get to our injury report presented by Habish, Habish, and Rotier. Check them out over at Habish.com. Packers TJ Slayton returned to practice. That is a huge sign for him. They need him in this game. I don't know that I've said that about TJ Slayton ever. This is a game where TJ Slayton is going to be massively important because of his massive size, his physicality. They just don't have another TJ Slayton on this team. It is going to be paramount that he can go out there and play at a solid level against this very physical, very big Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. TJ Slayton can have a significant role in this game. I'm very, very happy that he was back practicing, even if it was limited on Thursday. That's a great sign. Meanwhile, the bigger news, Jordan Love, along with Malik Willis, were full participants in practice. It continues to seem like it's going to be good to go for Jordan Love, that he's going to be ready to play. Malik Willis will be ready to back him up. We'll see if there's any lingering issues, if he doesn't look right throwing the ball or anything like that, knock on wood. Hopefully that's not the case. We did get some videos from practice from the beat writers. He seemed to be throwing the ball well. Now, these were mostly like 5-10 yard passes, some swing passes, things like that, nothing down the field, but he looked like Jordan Love out there in the video that we were able to see. So that is a huge sign. Unfortunately, Zane Anderson is still in concussion protocol and everything else for the Packers remain the same. It would seem at this point in time that Zane Anderson probably won't play due to the concussion protocol. We know Christian Watson's not going to play. Everyone else, as of now, seems to be trending in the right direction to play. Of course, on Friday, we will get that full injury breakdown. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts participated in full. He was also upgraded. He is still in concussion protocol, but all indicators are that he's going to be cleared in time and ready to play for Sunday, which is what we expected all along. And it's in its right place, right? We should see Jalen Hurts versus Jordan Love. And that's what the playoffs are about. The best versus the best. May the best team win. I know there's always this thought of like, hey, maybe they could have a couple injuries here or there, like whatever you need to do to get past this week and continue to move on. But I think for the sake of the NFL, you always want guys to be healthy, see which team is best. I want to see Green Bay go into Philly with Jalen Hurts there and see them win that game. It would have a little bit more, I think, weight, and it would just be a better outcome for Green Bay if they can go in and actually do that. Again, I cannot tell you how excited I am for this game. Meanwhile, AJ Brown did not practice after seemingly going out of practice on Wednesday with some trainers. By all accounts, by all reports, it sounds like this is maintenance for AJ Brown, and they are doing everything they can to get him as close to 100% for Packers Eagles. But it sounds like there is zero chance that AJ Brown will miss this game against Green Bay, and he continues to trend in the right direction, even though he did not practice on Thursday for the Eagles. That's it. Those are the big ones to kind of keep an eye on. It seems like Eagles are basically going to be all hands on deck. It seems like for Green Bay, Sean Anderson remains the question mark, but the big stories there, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, seemingly good to go and should be there for Sunday, playing Sunday and making for this really, really fun, epic matchup between the Packers and the Eagles. And with that, let's get to our really fun conversation with Fox Sports' Carmen Vitale. It is that time once again. We are back with the great Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports. You can find her on Twitter at CarmiV. Carmen, it is playoff time. It is finally here. We've got a ton to discuss. Before we get there, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. Just send some thoughts to your West Coast friends and LA and people in LA. If you know them, it's really crazy here right now. We are getting out of the city for the next couple of days because the air quality is bad. So even though we're not in a fire evacuation zone, it's still pretty chaotic, so just check on your California friends.
Yeah, for sure, definitely do so. Obviously been monitoring that. The whole situation is awful and crazy, and just thinking of everyone out in that LA area. Definitely thinking about you and your safety. Make sure to stay safe, and if obviously you need anything, definitely let us know. We're all thinking about you guys.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. All right. So obviously no easy way to transition from a devastating situation as that into Packers football, but we will do our best nonetheless. Obviously we had, from a Packers standpoint, a very disappointing game this past week. Packers, Bears finally get off the schneid and get a victory against the Green Bay Packers, stopping and snapping that 11-game losing streak. Thomas Brown gets his victory as head coach before whatever happens next in Chicago. I see he's interviewing for an offensive coordinator job in Seattle. Let me start by just asking you this. What did you take away from this game? Was it meaningful? Was it not meaningful? What did you see from kind of an outsider's perspective?
I mean, I don't think it was necessarily meaningful for Green Bay, but it was meaningful for Chicago. And it was something that they needed as a team just to see that there was some salvageable culture there. That's the biggest thing that kind of keeps coming out of everything that players are saying. And what we've heard all season really is players want to be held accountable. They want something to believe in. They want something that resembles competency from their leadership. And that hasn't happened so far. So to get this win over an arch rival, at least from the Bears' eyes, and just kind of boost the morale for the guys that are under contract, will be there, or have been part of this rivalry for years at this point, it meant a whole lot to those players. I don't know that it's not going to save Thomas Brown's job.
No.
It's not going to get him to stick around, but it definitely now becomes part of Caleb Williams' lore in that his first trip to Lambeau Field, he came out with a win, which is not something that some of these other quarterbacks in Bears history can say.
It's one of the things I wanted going in from a Packers standpoint is just don't give the Bears any reason for optimism. Don't give Caleb Williams any reason. Like the Bears were obviously very floundering, very dysfunctional. They still, I'm sure, are to some extent, but don't give them any reason for hope or optimism going into the season. Yet here we are from a Packers side of things. Anything that you took away from this, anything that gives you cause for concern? Is it much ado about nothing? How do you kind of view their performance in this one?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest concern, honestly, was that Christian Watson got hurt. And yes, there's been stretches of time where he has not been in the lineup, but I think you see the limitations of the offense a lot more starkly when Christian Watson isn't in there stretching the field vertically as an added component to what Matt LaFleur does so well with this offense and the way he calls games, and everything is really kind of affected. While he's not necessarily your volume guy or your number one wide receiver in that sense, in a lot of ways, he sets up other things. He allows for other things. all of the wonderful things that Matt LaFleur does with the run scheme and the diversity he has back there in the offensive backfield, plus how he utilizes tight ends, that covers the backfield, the short, the intermediate area of the field. But really, to make this offense go, you need that deep threat. So who is going to step up and be that guy? And if it is a guy like Jaden Reed, who does have top 5 yards per reception average among qualified receivers that I looked up on PFF the other day, you're then taking him away, though, from all of the fun things that he does in the offensive backfield. So it's, I don't think it's as cut and dry of a decision as to who fills that role. I think Matt LaFleur will have an answer, but that's the biggest thing that really concerned me, because outside of that, you're playing this game really conservatively if you're Green Bay. It's not a game that's going to matter at really at all. And yes, there was momentum and stuff that the Bears got, and they got, you know, some optimism and all that those other things that you said you didn't want them to get from that. But at the end of the day, that has no bearing on the postseason. You're not going to face them again. So you were playing that game, I'm presuming, pretty conservatively, where you weren't going to push your players. You weren't going to have them overwork themselves in anticipation of having to play in the wild card round.
Yeah, we'll just now see if Green Bay has the ability to flip that switch and go from sort of that lackadaisical effort against Chicago to needing their best effort of the year against a very, very good Philadelphia Eagles team. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I read these numbers earlier this week, but I'll bring them up once more. With Christian Watson off the field, yards per route run, they're 13th in the league, and explosive play rate per route, they're 19th in the league. With him on the field, they're first in both categories. Again, yards per route run and explosive play route. That's for their wide receiver core, I should say. That's a remarkable difference for one player, especially one player that has 29 catches. Like you said, he's not a volume guy. Like I talked about this earlier this week too, but like 29 catches and 2 touchdowns. Those are Josh Oliver numbers for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, obviously a difference in yardage by quite a bit, but like Josh Oliver had 28 catches and 3 touchdowns. Like, this is not a normal stat line that you'd be like, oh my goodness, this is a major loss for a team. But with Christian Watson, because of the gravity that he has, it very much is a major loss for this team. And then of course you've got the entire like interesting sort of cloud-ish that hangs over Jordan Love and his elbow injury. I think everyone expects Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts to be able to play in this game. There is, again, just a little bit of a cloud over both of them. But just kind of thoughts, too, on Jordan's injury and assuming he does play, which we're all expecting, how that could affect him and his rhythm in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my concern with Jordan's injury was quelled when I saw that he was at practice and he was practicing yesterday and is, for all intents and purposes, should practice the rest of this week. He doesn't seem like he never talks like there's any question, even when there is, which we know. But I'm not super concerned about that from the standpoint of if he plays. Now, you talk about, all right, some of the struggles that the Packers had early were because Jordan Love wasn't 100% healthy, was in and out of the lineup. The team didn't really have a lot of chemistry and kind of just reps to fall back on because he was in and out of the lineup. But the good news is that he has been in the lineup for the last few weeks. The team does have chemistry. He does have rapport with his receivers. I really think that it is going to be okay. And it doesn't seem, I mean, like there being a question mark under center for both of these teams in a playoff round is kind of wild. And you just kind of think that, all right, do they cancel each other out? I don't know, because both of these guys are going to play, provided that Jalen Hurts is in fact able to clear concussion protocol. But that it's still, he's going to be going through the things of like missing some time and having to get back through everything and all that kind of stuff. So does that kind of cancel each other out? I don't know the answer to that, but I really trust that Matt LaFleur is going to put Jordan Love in the best positions possible and not, you know, try to make him do too much or too little or whatever it is.
Totally agreed. And I think both offenses are going to be very pleased and happy that there's a Saquon Barkley and a Josh Jacobs that they can go to. As hopefully, but what did I say? Did I say Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I thought maybe I said the wrong name, but thankfully.
I was agreeing. Yes.
Thankfully, both of them in this game that you can lean on and have those guys, well, maybe both of these quarterbacks work off a little bit of rust or kind of get that elbow going for Jordan and just, again, kind of getting in some rhythm for both of these guys. We'll talk about that matchup more in just a moment. As we kind of close up last week, there was clearly one other massive NFC North battle, Minnesota versus Detroit. I have to be honest. I did not see Detroit just running right through Minnesota in that game, especially with some of the injuries that Detroit had. Man, they are just a really, really good football team. I don't know if the stage was just a little bit too big for Minnesota. I don't know what it was, but that was a really impressive performance. Jahmyr Gibbs showed off all of his abilities on a national stage. And despite all the injuries, Detroit showed they are easily one of the favorites still going into this playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't really understand a whole lot of the doubt. I know that they have injuries, but they've had injuries from week six when Aiden Hutchinson went down. I mean, this is something that Aaron Glenn has been week in and week out adjusting to. And if you look at kind of some of the little indicators of what Aaron Glenn has done is increase the blitz rate, realizing you can't rely on that back level as much, really trying to get pressure. And it's worked so far. And I think the biggest thing in that Minnesota game was you realize, especially against a team like Minnesota, which has so many offensive weapons, you aren't going to be able to cover everything, especially with all of the injuries you have in the secondary. So Aaron Glenn kind of sold out on, all right, we're going to make Sam Darnold uncomfortable. We're going to stop the run. We're going to force Sam Darnold to throw the ball and be uncomfortable while he does it. And that's exactly what they did. And it reverted Sam back to something that we saw years ago, which was he was completely uncomfortable in the pocket, was not standing up in the face of pressure. He was not seeing open guys. I think Kevin O'Connell took a lot of unnecessary flack after that game for saying that he didn't call a game as well as he should have. He called the right calls. There were plenty of guys that were open for multiple scores. Sam Darnold wasn't seeing them, and it was because the Detroit Lions were in his face, or if not in his face, they were kind of clouding up the certain levels of the defense with other guys, dropping guys he wasn't expecting, bringing pressure from places that he wasn't expecting it. It was just a tremendous, tremendous coaching job by Aaron Glenn. And then having and doing all of that, it really does put a lot of pressure on your guys on the back level, the ones that are there, because they're in man, they're on an island. And credit to Amik Robertson for being like, hey, I've been going up against Justin Jefferson since high school. I can do this. He's normally a nickel corner. He's now on the outside shadowing Justin Jefferson, and it worked. So there's just a tremendous amount of trust that Aaron Glenn has in his guys. There's a tremendous amount of trust that his guys have in him. It's a total testament to how good of a coaching staff this is, that week in and week out, despite all of these injuries, that they've gotten guys ready over and over again. And that makes them really, really scary. And I picked Detroit for this game. I figured that they would still end up as the one seed, and I'm sticking with my preseason pick of Detroit ending up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they have all that momentum, and they are just screw momentum. They're just, it doesn't even matter. Like, they are just that team. They're that juggernaut. This is what I find crazy. The Vikings were ninth in total point differential on the season at plus 100. The Packers were fifth at plus 122. The Lions were that combined between Minnesota plus 100, Green Bay plus 122. Detroit was plus 222. The Vikings and Packers score differential combined is where Detroit was at, which is insane. Not to mention that Detroit had arguably one of the toughest divisions in the history of the NFL with themselves, Green Bay and Minnesota, as we just mentioned. Obviously, Chicago, not quite there. But like, it's remarkable what they were able to accomplish, and going 6-0 in that division, including 4-0 against the Packers and the Vikings. It's a remarkable job. And let me just say, if anyone from any NFL team that's looking for a head coach, not named the Chicago Bears, is listening, Brian Flores and Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, phenomenal candidates. All three of those should be at the top of your list. Let's get them out of the division, please, and going somewhere else. That would be very kind of the rest of the NFL.
Can you believe it? It's playoff football, and that means it's time for Green Bay to go on a win streak and for you to go on a win streak with Prize Picks. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money, and that's because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions. I've been telling you guys, you got to get in on Taco Tuesday when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. You can make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Now this week, I'm going with Jordan Love to get hot and throw multiple touchdowns. I'm also going with Saquon Barkley to have a big week, and I also expect Baltimore's offense to have a massive week, so I'm going to be utilizing a ton of their starters as well, including Lamar Jackson and King Henry. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Well, too bad, because it looks like the Bears are interviewing all three of them.
I know. But I have faith that the Bears can find a way to get to Mark Trestman this after interviewing 1,000 candidates in some capacity. That's the hope.
I'll be honest. I do not have a whole lot of faith just from what we've seen from the press conferences so far this week. I do not have a whole lot of faith that the Bears are going to do a good.
What was that Ryan Poles interview that, or like their press conference? What was it, that?
This is what I'm talking about when I say, like, it's a sign of a larger dysfunction when I talk about how they fired Matt Eberflus and had him go out there, or when I look at these press conferences and Ryan Poles is saying one thing and then Kevin Warren, who is out in a hallway inexplicably, not in the press room, he's saying another. And then you're asking direct questions. I mean, credit to the Chicago media for asking direct questions, being like, are you comfortable with your job here, Ryan? Or asking Kevin Warren, are you committed to Ryan Poles long term? And then for Kevin Warren to come out and say, well, a year is a lifetime. Like, a year is long term. I'm like, what? Why would you say something like that? That's just going to stoke the flames. It's, again, neither of these guys, even George McCaskey, did not look prepared for the line of questioning that they were going to get. And as good and direct as the questions were, they weren't unprecedented. They weren't unpredictable questions. These were all questions that everybody wants answers to. Why were they not prepped? Why did they not have better answers? It comes off as the organization looking horrible, and stuff like that matters. It really, really does, because it's a sign of larger issues, a larger scale of dysfunction. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's not the root of the problem. But make no mistake, it matters how your organization comes off. And it's why the Bears have the reputation they do around the league, even inside these buildings, of coaching candidates coming in with questions. I saw something about how Ben Johnson comes in with like an air of arrogance because he's interviewing you. Should be interviewing you. He's not pressed for a job. He's not fired. He can easily stay in Detroit in a really good situation, be one of the highest paid coordinators, and only have to deal with the X's and O's kind of things. He wants to make sure he's going to a good situation where he's being set up for success. That's totally on the table. So to hear all of that kind of stuff come out, I'm just, that's what makes me not confident. I hope the Bears prove me wrong. I really, really do, because I'm pulling for them, their fans. They've just been trapped in the cycle of mediocrity for my entire life, for the most part. And I want them to get out of it. I just, this organization, man.
My friend who's a Bears fan, I forget the exact wording that he put it, but he said basically like, I have no faith in the fact that the Bears are going to be able to make the right hire, but I have faith in that by doing this enough, they'll fail into the right one.
Law of averages,
The law of averages will even out at some point, that they will fail into and or accidentally hire the wrong or the right guy for probably the wrong reasons at some point along the way. So that was his rationale, as to maybe this will be the time that they get one, not because they did something right, but just because, again, sort of like you said, law of averages. But yeah, that was a nightmare scenario. And again, if you are a Ben Johnson, to your point, Carmen, if you're Ben Johnson and you see all of this and there are other openings out there, man, I would have to really you're going to have to sell me on the fact that what I just saw is not the actual state of the organization, and that I am going to be put in that position to succeed, or screw that. Like, I'm not going there for 2 to 3 awkward seasons and then have to go out. It's like, yeah, no thanks, but no thanks. I'll hold on a little bit longer if that's the case.
Yeah. I think the Bears overestimate how much people want to be one of 32. And don't get me wrong, so many guys will jump at that chance. But if you're really looking for the top of the top, the cream of the crop, the guys that could really overhaul your organization, I'm not even saying that's necessarily Ben Johnson, because we've never seen him as a head coach. But if you really want these guys that are experienced and everything like that, you need to do your part. You need to meet them halfway. You need to show them that this is an organization that is going to support them, because they know better. They know what it's like to be put in a situation where they are set up to fail. And because of that, they're going to be extra cautious in coming to your organization, whether that ultimately decide, you know, shrinks your candidate pool or, you know, sways a guy to take another job or not take a job at all or not take the job at all. That remains to be seen, but you can't argue that that makes guys think twice, which can in fact affect the pool of candidates that you can really pull from for this position.
Do you have a quick prediction on who will be the Bears' next coach?
No, I don't. I've been in candidates.
So
there's more that keep coming out. I think they're like, they're up to 14 now, I think, as far as what's been reported. I've been in the camp that I really, really like Mike Vrabel because of what he brings as a culture guy. And because he's a CEO head coach and he's proven to be able to bring in good coordinator talent. If you recall, his first OC hire when he was head coach of the Tennessee Titans was in fact Matt LaFleur, who he then replaced with Arthur Smith, who were both head coaches in this league. Say what you want about Arthur Smith as a head coach. He's an excellent offensive coordinator. So clearly, even as a defensive guy, as a CEO head coach, Mike Vrabel has the Rolodex and the ability to evaluate coaching talent. And yes, if you lose them, that comes with the territory, but also Mike Vrabel has shown that his Rolodex is deep and he can bring in other guys that are still successful. So when you talk about an organization where, yes, Caleb Williams is the priority, developing him, doing all that kind of stuff, but the underlying priority and the one that I would argue is even bigger is the culture, because that affects everyone on this team. And that's what we've heard from players over and over again in these exit interviews, is that no one holds them accountable. They want to be coached hard. They don't want any gray area anymore. That's the kind of stuff that you really need to first and foremost correct. And you need a guy, I think, that's been there. So I think that Mike Vrabel is a guy that he overhauled the culture in Tennessee for a while. I know that he was let go, but we're seeing now more and more how dysfunctional Tennessee is as an organization after just getting rid of Rand Carthon, not giving guys enough of an opportunity, that, this, that, the other. So I think that now Vrabel's he's a big personality. He has a huge ego, rightfully so. Is that going to gel with the power structure in Chicago? Again, some of the other stuff that people need to consider when you're talking about the pool of candidates the Bears can draw from. Is Vrabel going to be okay with being under the general manager, who's under the team president, who's under ownership? That's a lot of levels till you get to the top. Can you get something done? I don't know. Is your personality going to clash with somebody along the way? That's probably a better possibility when you have four guys over you or three guys, whatever it is. But he would be my favorite. And I love Ben Johnson. I think that he's an incredible offensive mind. What is going to happen when he's pulled in 10 different directions and cannot solely focus on the offense, on the diabolical schemes that he dreams up every week? And I'm not saying he can't do it, but I am saying that I don't know that the Bears can afford to take that risk, can take that gamble. I feel like at this point, they need to get a guy in there that they know as much as you possibly can in advance, that they are going to be good because they have been good before. So at the very least, if it doesn't work out, you can point and say, well, this is the reason we thought it would, because it's worked out before. He has a track record. And why wouldn't we think that this, like, you could at least justify it in that way. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that they shouldn't hire Ben Johnson, all of that kind of stuff. I think he will eventually be a great head coach when he gets there. But I think that there might be a learning curve, as there is pretty much with every coordinator that becomes a head coach. And I don't know if the Bears can afford that right now.
No, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. What I would say is the Bears need a play caller, whatever, less than they need a foundation is what they need within their organization.
That's a good way to put it.
I think what people don't realize is, like, Green Bay is still living to a large extent off the foundation that Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren and Bob Harlan to an extent set back in the 90s. And that has evolved through, obviously, Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. That has evolved through Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. It's not the exact same, but the foundation that they set back then and there is still very largely felt today, you know, decades later. And so many people want that instant fix, or they want the hottest candidate or whatever. And that all sounds good on the surface, up until the fact that you realize there are creaks and crevices and cracks in the foundation everywhere. And it's like, you just thought maybe you needed a new paint job. And it's like, no, this is a, from the ground floor up, complete tear down and remodel of a franchise and an organization. And to just expect a guy that's really good at play calls and trick plays, which he's amazing. I'm not disparaging Ben Johnson at all. Maybe he can come in and do that. It's within the realm of possibility, but you know, I think it's more important to find that person from a Bears standpoint to work along with side, hopefully the powers that be that are there to build that foundation. And if you can't do that, no matter what window dressing and new paint job you put on it, you're probably going to end up back at the same spot over and over and over again.
And that's what's been happening because they don't have that foundation. Exactly. No, I completely agree. I completely agree with you. And to Ben Johnson's credit, he saw Dan Campbell do it in Detroit. Can he replicate that? That's the question. And again, I think I would rather at this stage of the game go with a guy that I know has done this before himself and knows what to bring in and how to organizationally overhaul everything. We'll see.
It'll be interesting. Let's take a look at the playoff games this week, specifically in the NFC North. Let's start with Vikings Rams, the closest Vegas line of any of these games. Vikings favored by one. Obviously, one of the things that hangs over this game is unfortunately the fires that are in LA. Game may end up having to be played in Arizona. Your thoughts on this game and how you could see this one going.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see just the location of the game. SoFi, for those of you that haven't been there, it looks like it's enclosed. It's not. There is a however many foot gap between where the wall of the stadium ends and the roof begins. And it's kind of, to me, it's a design flaw because you wanted the benefits of being indoor, but you don't actually get them. So like when there's a lightning delay, there's a lightning delay at SoFi, even though you've got a roof over you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but because of that, the air quality, all that other stuff that goes into this, it could be moved to the indoor stadium in Glendale where the Cardinals play. I'm supposed to go to the game if it's here in LA. We'll see how that all materializes. But for the game itself, I think a huge thing in that first matchup between these two teams, Brian Flores even admitted it, Puka Nacua surprised them. They did not know that Puka Nacua was going to play. And when he did, that kind of sent a lot of things into turmoil for this Brian Flores defense. For as good as it is, as complex as it is, it's volatile. I think that's the best way I can describe his defense. And when you have a surprise like that, while it's just one player, it changes the math on so many things on the field. So good news is they know Puka's going to play. They're not anticipating. They shouldn't have any surprises and should have, you know, this week to prepare for that. At the same time, Sam Darnold's going to have to regroup, figure out how to, again, be okay in the face of pressure, because that's something that the Los Angeles Rams still do really well with some really young players. Can you catch them kind of over pursuing or doing or making some mistakes or whatever that young players like to do, young enthusiastic players? But you have Jared Verse, you have Braden Fisk, you have Kobe Turner, all on that defensive line. And they're killing it for the Rams. So it's a huge reason why this Rams defense has been as good as it has been this year. It's the reason why they've had the chance. It's the reason that by the slightest of margins, they were able to win that division. So it's going to be a battle. I'm really excited to see how it ends up materializing. But there's a lot of uncertainty off the field. But at least on the field, these guys should know what to expect.
Yeah, I'm. This is one that I think is going to be... again, one of the best matchups, closest games. And from a Packers standpoint, of course, you're cheering against Minnesota. So you've got a true villain and a true face here in the Rams for Green Bay, regardless of what happens. So yeah, this to me, you know, it's the last game of the playoff week of wildcard weekend. And it's going to be, I think, have a huge factor in the NFC. I still think the Vikings have a real legitimate chance to win the NFC. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm quite there with the Rams, but this could be one of those games where you get a true legitimate contender eliminated if the Rams can pull off, I guess, a home upset, if you will. They're only 1 point underdogs in this one. But this to me has a really close epic game written all over it. And one of the ones that I certainly have earmarked for this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that I trust the Vikings more than I trust the Rams. Famous last words. But I do think that they're just a more complete team at this point. And it's going to be interesting too, because Kevin O'Connell came up under Sean McVay. So can he finally get, can the grasshopper become you know, the teacher, the master, all of that kind of stuff when Kevin O'Connell plays Sean McVay this time. We'll see.
It's funny how these things work because Matt LaFleur owns Sean McVay. Kyle Shanahan completely owns Matt LaFleur. I mean, they won this year when San Fran had the backup quarterback in and were basically at their JV squad going. But it's just interesting how some of these dynamics work between how some coaches are get the best over their mentors. Sometimes the mentors get the best, but those are always fun matchups as well. Like I said, looking forward to this one. Yeah. And then last but not least, Packers Eagles Sunday, kind of the main event, the 3:30 game on Sunday, arguably the game of the week with the top two teams. How do you see this one going and what are your expectations for this game?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really, really close one, interesting one. I think that people are nationally, at least, underestimating the Packers. So if Packers fans want to have a little bit of chip on their shoulder, please go ahead. I do think the teams match up really well, though, because when at first glance, you look at this Packers defense, which is where I go when I'm looking at a guy that has a team that has not only Jalen Hurts and one of the best offensive lines, but Saquon Barkley, obviously. So how the Packers run defense will stack up against a guy like Saquon. And on the whole this season, Packers run defense has been average. It hasn't been anything overly special. However, over the last month, 6th in EPA per rush allowed, 3rd in average depth of tackle. These are all according to PFF metrics. They're 15th in run defense grade, but obviously that's very subjective and that's based on PFF's metrics solely. So when you look at EPA per rush allowed and you're 6th in that and you're limiting opponents in that way, that bodes well to me. On top of the fact that we've covered this before on a couple of the last episodes, just saying how much better that the Green Bay front has gotten as far as getting pressure. It's still obviously room for improvement, but from where they started to after their bye week, there has been a tangible improvement in that. So you think, all right, this is a more complete defense, which, hey, you changed defensive coordinators, you changed defensive schemes, which your team has been built on for the last 15 years. So obviously there was going to be a learning curve, some period of adjustment, all that other stuff. I think the Packers are past that. And I with the way that they've been able to take away the ball, they're 4th in the league in takeaways, 26 total. Their 12 fumbles rank 2nd in the league. Their 14 interceptions rank 4th. So again, a very complete effort, which is what you're going to need against these Philadelphia Eagles, but it's not as if the Packers are not capable of doing it and haven't been doing it as of late.
The crazy thing is, since the bye week, DeAndre Swift is really the only one who's gotten anything going. He had 14 carries for 71 yards against Green Bay in their first matchup right after the bye week. After that, it was Christian McCaffrey, 11 for 31. Then it was Raheem Mostert, 5 for 19. David Montgomery, 14 for 51. Jahmyr Gibbs, 15 for 43. Nothing to really write home about there. Zach Charbonnet had a really good average, but only 8 carries for 54 yards. The Saints, 4 carries, 16 yards for Jordan Mims, 8 for 15 for Kendre Miller. Aaron Jones, 12 carries, 47 yards for him. And then DeAndre Swift, 20 carries, but 65 yards and a touchdown in this one. Like, they have not allowed anything close to a 100-yard rusher since the bye week. Yeah. And to your point, like, this run defense has been night and day different. Now, Saquon Barkley is night and day different than
any of those other guys. You're so right.
and that Eagles offensive line is night and day different than anything that they've faced. So it is a completely different challenge, but it is a really interesting matchup. And I think one that can go a long way in defining this game. If Saquon Barkley is just running wild, I don't like Green Bay's odds. If Green Bay can actually come in Saquon Barkley to a real legitimate extent, and he's around that 20 carries, 75 yards, something like that, man, I really like Green Bay's odds in this one. So you have one of the top rushing offenses against a really good rushing defense as of late. That's definitely one of the matchups I'm looking for early and often in this one.
Yeah, and that, and then obviously the other component to Philadelphia's offense, I mean, they're a run first, kind of take my shots where I see them type of offense, and that comes with A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown is so incredibly sound this year. He has 0 drops. Basically, if Jalen Hurts is accurate, he's a really tough matchup. And because not only it's not as if he's taking kind of these high probability routes or catches or anything like that. He has 15 contested catches, which ranks in the top 10 in the league. His yards per route run is one of the best in the league as well. this is an incredible, incredible player. And again, you have to prevent Jalen Hurts from being able to get the ball to him, because there's really no stopping it, as we've seen throughout throughout this season. It's just that Jalen Hurts has a really good sense of when to take those shots, and identifying the defense and the matchups that AJ Brown has on any given play, and he really exploits it. So, I mean, it's guys like Carrington Valentine that are going to need to kind of lead the way with maybe some help from some of the safeties, which is the strength of that Green Bay secondary at this point. Although, I have to say, Carrington Valentine has done well in the absence of Jair Alexander. 89 coverage grade, 2 interceptions, 1 forced incompletion. I believe 11 catches on 112 yards allowed in the span since, like, that he's been playing in since Jair went out. That's all well and good, but again, when you're talking about Philadelphia and you're talking about this offense, AJ Brown is a different animal. You need to be sound against him on every single play.
Very much so. Just really quick, injury. The practice report came out while we were recording here. Same injury report as yesterday for Green Bay. Christian Watson, Zane Anderson, TJ Slayton were the only players not practicing. Also, the outdoor portion was open, and we do got video of Jordan Love throwing out at practice.
Fantastic.
Seems to be spinning it well. It seems to look good. So hopefully that's a great sign for Jordan moving forward. Looks like he continues to be good to go as this week is progressing. So great news there for Green Bay. Since we probably don't have a ton of these left, Carmen Vitale, and since I know you hate making predictions, I will pick on you anyway. I won't make you pick a score or anything, like just gut feel as of right now. I know we're still early in the week. We don't even know like final injury reports or things like that. Do you have an early gut feel for this game?
I would pick Green Bay to cover. I think it's going to be really, really close. I don't know. I feel like it's a sneaky opportunity in the way that we were talking about the Rams being able to knock out the Vikings. I'm not just saying this because I'm on a Packers podcast. I really do think that the Packers have the opportunity to do that with the Philadelphia Eagles as well as they've been playing. It's an any given Sunday type of thing. And I do think that the Packers are being underestimated. I think that they have a really complete team when they're playing their best. It's just the question mark of if we're going to get their best, because that's been a little bit inconsistent this season. If you have a criticism of this season on the whole, or at least if I do, that's my criticism. You just haven't seen sustained kind of consistency out of this team. But if you can play your best in this game, I think that the Packers have a shot. I don't know that I'm going to go so far as to picking them to win, but I will pick them to cover. How's that?
Deal. And we will take that. I love it. Carmen, you're the absolute best. What do you got cooking this week, and where can we find all of your amazing work?
Yeah, foxsports.com is where my articles are. Did a lot with kind of the Bears head coaching search and why Ben Johnson actually would make sense. As much as I said, talked about Mike Vrabel, why Ben Johnson would make sense as well, not only for the Bears, but for him. And then I'm supposed to go to Rams Vikings, but we're going to see how everything materializes here in LA. So honestly, more than anything, more than checking out my work, please just, you know, if you're the praying type, if you're the thoughtful type, send some thoughts and prayers to the people in LA and donate if you can. Find ways to get involved. There's a ton of resources. I have them on my social media, on my Instagram, just listing kind of certain organizations that are helping people and animals that have been displaced by this catastrophe.
Awesome. We will put that in the show notes for today as well. We appreciate that a ton. And most importantly, Carmen, make sure to stay safe yourself. We will be chatting soon. I hope you're able to get to the Rams game and everything, hopefully from a fire standpoint, dies down here in the near future and we can get back to some normalcy in the LA area. Thinking about you guys, stay safe. Make sure to follow her on Twitter at Carmi V. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.